And you moved directly to the States from China?
Yeah.
Right. So how was that move?
Everyone was asking me that too before I left. Oh, you're going to China? Why? Hey, international audiences, you should care about what's going on in different parts of the world. And that's what I really love about podcasting, how you can reach so many cultures and languages.
Andrea Coscai is the Romanian podcast producer who built Eurowaves, Europe's leading bi-weekly newsletter connecting podcasters across 30-plus countries.
She's cracked the code on European podcast growth by teaching creators to target existing listeners instead of chasing new ones, and now works with Tink Media, helping podcasters scale across borders.
The best way to market a podcast is to go where podcast lovers already are.
Where are podcast listeners? Where are they? In other shows. So swap with other shows. Do a feed swap, which means taking your episode and putting it on their feed and vice versa. And that way they really get the feel of your show. Apply to be featured on Apple, apply to be featured on Spotify. They have forms that are publicly available. Mm-hmm. And you can pitch yourself like once a month, find something newsworthy, pitch yourself. This was a new show featured in newsletters and things like that. It was featured in Apple. And actually, his one-year goal was to reach 10,000 listeners. And we achieved that in 2 months from when the show was released. It doesn't happen with all podcasts, can promise that, but it did happen.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode of The Pod Files. Ladies and gentlemen, I have here somebody quite interesting because I have the first Romanian on the podcast. As you know, I am a Romanian myself, and I've been in the podcasting industry internationally for quite some time, and I helped many of my clients with their podcasts. But I finally found somebody else from Romania that is doing the same, and I'm really curious to learn more about her. And we connected through LinkedIn, and she was kind enough to include my podcast on her Substack newsletter, which I really appreciate. And I decided to learn more about her and to obviously give you a lot of insight into what she's doing and how she helps podcasters like you. So I have here today Andrea Coscai, who is based currently in Bucharest, but she has traveled the world. She has been in China, in the US, and she's going to tell us where else she has traveled to. And she's a podcast marketer and producer, and I'm really excited to have her today. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the invitation and for the lovely, lovely introduction. Should we say bună?
Bună salut.
You know, a little bit of Romanian here.
Of course.
Super representing.
Of course. I've got James Critland, because since you've been on his podcast, at the end of the show, he actually thanked me for the show, for being on the show in Romanian, which was quite a surprise.
You know what? I actually listened to that episode, but I didn't get to the very end when he said that. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he said that.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, he was really kind. He actually Googled that while he was on the show, and he actually had a pretty good pronunciation. So if you want to check that out, guys, go and listen to the other episode. That was the last episode before this one. So, Andrea, tell me more about who you are, what you do at the moment, and how did you actually get into podcasting?
Mm-hmm. Well, where to start? So I would say how I got into podcasting, let me start with that, is I had a mentor when I was in the States. As you mentioned, I'm originally from Romania. I was in the States for 5 years and now I'm back. So while I was in the States, I had a mentor who was more so in sound art. So one of her recommendations was The Heart by Caitlin Prest. Mm-hmm. And that podcast, I highly recommend it. You should listen to it. I feel like you would love it. It's a staple of podcasting and what audio can achieve. Like, the sound design is amazing. The storytelling is just, It's beautiful. So when I listened to that, I just thought, wow, this is something that, like, audio can do this? What is even podcasting? You know, it was 2018 or 2019, and Romania didn't really have a lot of podcasts back then, right? Mm-hmm. If any. Actually, there were some. There were some narrative podcasts, but more so from independent media. So anyway, my background is kind of from communications, marketing, all of that. So one of my first jobs in podcasting was doing social media for a podcast called Now What by Carol Zimmer. And Carol is an amazing journalist. She like has so much experience. She's interviewed Biden. She's interviewed Anthony Fauci, Gloria Steinem. Like it was, so it's a really cool first experience doing her social media and trying to like build a community around her podcast. While I was doing that, I was, of course, you know, kind of hustling as everyone else is. I was also in the States, which is, you know, the land for that. So I was still open to opportunities. I was looking for different collaborations. And I posted on a Google group. I posted on, I think, all the Google groups anyway. But one of them was New York City radio, public radio, right? So I said, if you're looking for admin, marketing, production, because I had done a bit of that as well, more so like editing, I can help you. Just let me know.
So you pitched that?
Yes. Yeah. I just, you know, I advertise myself. Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah. You got to do that. You got to be like your biggest advocate. So I emailed that. And then I got a response from Ariel, who works with Tink. She collaborates with Tink Media, where I've been working for 2.5 years. And she said, well, Lauren and I are actually looking for a new person to add to the team. So let's chat. We chatted. It was a great conversation. And so I started working there. That's what I've been doing for the past couple of years, podcast marketing. In the meantime, I returned to Romania, as you mentioned, and I started getting back into production as well and strategy. Me and my partner, Julian, we co-founded Podvision, which is like an all-together kind of agency to help you with everything from this kind of like vision stage to production to marketing, promoting yourself. And all of that. So that's been my journey so far. And I guess the staple and the big event that happened recently is I launched Eurowaves, which you mentioned earlier, which is a newsletter to bring together European podcasters. It's been called the European Pod News. I'm trying to live up to that, but yeah.
Well, you need to get that domain and just put it there, because I think it's great. And it's definitely a gap that needs to be filled by somebody.
Yeah.
And I think you did that very well. And you mentioned, what was the company, the agency called again?
Podvision.
Podvision. Is that something new that you're creating right now?
It is. Yeah. I feel like it kind of started forming slowly because my partner is also in podcasting. And so he works more so in the production end. I do this marketing, this community building, newsletters. So
that's a match made in heaven.
Yes. Yeah. It comes together so, so well. And I think, because we both understand, like I talk to him about marketing podcasts all the time. So like he's starting to learn about that. I know some production. So because we have both perspectives in mind, we can really talk about strategy. We can talk about vision. You know, you can't really produce a podcast without talking about the marketing, and you can't market it without having the production in mind. So yeah, it's a great match.
That's exactly what I vouch for as well. Is telling my clients is you need to have a good show to be able to market it. And you need to market your show if you have a good show, because otherwise you invested all the money into something that is not getting into the right place. Obviously, there is all that idea of growing a podcast organically. And I do believe that organic growth is valuable. But I also believe that you need to pump it a little bit to be able to have a few strategies to push it out there, making sure that who needs to listen to it actually listens to it. And obviously the strategy behind it as well. And I want to talk about that as well with you in a few seconds. But before we get there, you went to China. Why?
So I was studying there for a couple of years. Everyone was asking me that too before I left. Oh, you're going to China. Why? Actually, I loved it so much. I would go as far as saying my experience was even better than in the States. Although, like, I love the American, like, I love Americans. I love the American people I work with. I love my friends. And I had, like, so many opportunities there. But China is just it's a country full of culture, history. People are just so friendly and open and kind. And they're ready to help you, you know, if you need something. So I think maybe because of our, like, kind of communist past. Yeah, I think there's some similarities there, you know, and like how people are and how we approach things. Although, you know, Romania is not necessarily a collectivist country. I think we're a lot like on the individualist path, but there were some similarities there. So it was a great time.
Yeah, we're getting there because it has been like almost 30 years. So have you been doing any podcasting when you were there, or was it like before that?
It was before. But actually, some of the first podcasts I made that were just short pieces, one of them was about China and feminism in China. Because while I was there, I just had no awareness of social issues. They also obviously, like, there is real censorship. Those are real issues and problems that we should talk about. So I just had no idea about any of it. Going to the States, of course, I heard a lot about, you know, Chinese, like the issues going on there. So I wanted to create this piece to kind of, share with people, like, hey, international audiences, you should care about what's going on in different parts of the world. And that's what I really love about podcasting, how you can reach so many cultures and languages.
You talked about censorship. That to me, it's quite interesting. I don't want to talk politics on this podcast, but I just want to say that I've been, for example, to Dubai. It's not as censored as other countries, but definitely you cannot talk everything you really want. And just because you know that that's there, it provides, it creates a feel of like closure. You cannot really open, and it just makes you feel like I don't want to express myself as much. Did you feel that in China?
Not really. I was there, I mean, for 2 years, I was just more so experiencing the, like, different cities, you know, taking different trips, kind of learning the language. So, I mean, there were conversations I was having with people, and I was asking them, like, how do you feel about this? Or, you know, what do you think that there's so much censorship? And they would just really always avoid the topic, whether it was friends, whether it was like a tour guide. So, yeah, you definitely feel it. Then again, like, even more so in a third place in the States, it was just really visible when I got it really, really into it.
And you moved directly to the States from China?
Yeah.
Right. So how was that move?
I mean, that's the thing, right? It was like, there's such different cultures that it was, I mean, yeah, I had like a third really hard culture shock with many different things in the States. And it's really funny because I thought, oh, well, of course, China was going to be so different. So I was going to be surprised going there. But the States, I'm familiar with the States. I've been watching American movies like since I was a kid. I listened to their music. I know the culture. I know everything. Not at all. It's such a different experience, like, actually being there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious because obviously Romanian people, they grew up with American culture a lot, especially in movies and everything. What was something that you believe is true that is no longer true once you got to the US?
Well, I think it also had to do a lot with the moment I went there, because I went in 2018, right? So like, the whole world has this image of the American dream. And this is something that was really marketed and built into everyone's heads to an extent, you know, from different countries. I would say I really had that as a Romanian, but just the whole country and the politics and everything switched so much. The way that you could, you know, achieve some things and really have those dreams and really, you know, build connections, make a lot of money, like, just all of that is not really the same now. There are a lot of more challenges for international students, for immigrants, for all of that. So that's one of the things for sure. And you can hear it a lot, you know, in like the world right now realizes that is shifted, that has shifted. And also Americans are really just not in a good moment right now for their country. So they're, a lot of them are coming to Europe. Eurowaves has a lot of American podcasters that are based here.
Before we dive back into the episode, I want to give a quick shout out to SaaSPod. Not only are they the masterminds behind this podcast, but they also power dozens of other shows you know and love. SaaSPod offers a flexible pay-as-you-go podcast production service that grows with you. Whether you need help choosing the right equipment, booking guests, editing, or setting up your podcast, they've got you covered. The best part? The team at SaaSPod isn't just professional. They make the entire process fun and stress-free. If you've been sitting on a great podcast idea, now is the time to bring it to life. Visit SaaSPod.com and use the code TPF2025 to get 20% off your first production package. That's TPF2025 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the episode. So let's talk about Eurowaves. Eurowaves, I believe, is the only maybe newsletter on podcasting in Europe, because I haven't seen any other newsletter on that topic. First thing first, I want to know, why did you start it and what problem is trying to solve?
So I started it because having moved back for a couple of years now, I just felt very disconnected from the world. As I was mentioning earlier, I work with a lot of American clients, you know, sometimes Canadian, just not European or Romanian necessarily. So I'm just doing my work at home and just on my computer. I'm just, you know, thinking of the American market a lot. And I felt like something was missing. So it also came from a personal need. And then I just realized, like you said, there's really nothing like it before. I do want to say WePod, which is a consortium of European organizations, had a newsletter for their project. It ran for 2 years and it was co-founded by the European Commission and it focused on podcasts. But apart from that, there was just nothing else really tying things together. So what I'm trying to solve is, right, like bringing European podcasters together, because there's just so much we can learn from one another, right? Like someone from the UK even can learn from the Romanian market. Someone from Romania can learn from the German market and so on. The ultimate goal is to increase podcast listenership and to increase also the industry to, you know, elevate it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So who is leading the podcasting space in Europe as a country?
Well, I won't even mention the UK because, you know, all other European countries are looking towards, oh, what's the UK doing? Although the UK is looking to the States. Okay, what's happening there, right? Because that's the mm-hmm. biggest market. Next to that, I would say Spain is huge. Spain is a really big market. Italy has a pretty good market as well. Nordic countries. And then in Eastern Europe, it's kind of, you know, like the Balkans altogether. I would say it's like there are small things happening in each one of the countries, but maybe there's a little bit more actually will and excitement to connect.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So I conducted a study by myself. So what I did, I used the directory called Listen Notes, if you're familiar with that. And I went in there and they have a form that you can use to buy data. Because what they do is they sell data. Once you submit your podcast to that platform, they can sell your data. And most podcasts will be present on that platform because some people listen to podcasts in there. And I do encourage my clients to submit to that platform as well, because at the end of the day, we expose our data anyway. So it doesn't matter. And I did a research on that tool and I found that Germany has most business podcasts. It's like the biggest market for that on business podcasts. Now, obviously they are in German language, but I've seen that they are really, really heavy on that.
Yes, Germany is actually one of the markets I wanted to mention. And I've had several interviews and like German podcasters share recommendations. I see events coming out of there. I think what they're lacking, because I was actually having a conversation recently with someone who runs a newsletter in German, it's like the German pod news, if you want to call it that. I can share the link with you and for everyone to access it. It's an amazing resource if you understand German. But that's one thing they're missing, like the events happening or like those spaces to bring people together. I think for the size of the market, there could be more of that. Or awards. For example, there are no German podcasting awards for how big the market is, you know?
That's interesting. I wonder if the reason why Germany is a bigger market on that is because Germany has a strong connection to audio, because the dynamic microphone comes from there, like radio waves and all sorts of things are coming from there. I'm wondering if that's kind of like the reason why the German market is so big, especially on the business side.
Yes. Absolutely. And I did not mention, I don't know how I could forget France. France has one of the biggest podcasting. Yes. And it is because of that radio culture. And that's one of the things I discovered in Romania, as it's always on my mind. Like, what can be done more here? In Romania, as you know, we listen to the radio for music. We don't listen to the radio for, you know, talk shows or for like a narrative podcast or for anything journalistic. So that's why here independent media has more of an upper hand in that sense. Yeah, radio is super interlinked for sure.
Going a little bit towards the Romanian market, and I believe this is happening in more other countries. I've seen that happen also into Arabic countries like Dubai or Egypt, because I talk with a few other people from that region. And I feel like video podcasting is actually heavier. It's more popular than audio podcasting. I haven't seen many Romanian podcasts on audio. I mean, they are on Spotify, especially the mainstream ones, but everybody that thinks about podcasting, they think about a show, a talk show on a video camera. They don't think about audio per se.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it has to do with the podcasting's PR. That's mm-hmm. not very good. Because if you ask someone who's not in the industry, what do you think of when you think podcast? They will tell you video. They will tell you Joe Rogan. They will tell you Call Her Daddy and I don't know, whatever other celebrity, right? So I think it has a lot to do with the media consumption habits mm-hmm. per culture and per country and uh-huh. so forth. Because in Romania, again, are we used to listening to things? If it's just, again, not just a chat, mm-hmm. or just music? Not really. That's just not a habit that we have. So everything is on YouTube now. I mean, YouTube does have better discoverability, right? Like TikTok is so huge, as we know, Reels. So like everything is moving towards this visual medium. And mm-hmm. as you know, even American podcasters feel a lot of some frustration, some kind of, trying to figure out where do they go from here mm-hmm. about video. So while it is in these countries, I mean, it's really taking over everywhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I, in a way, prefer audio podcasts. I do have this podcast as a video podcast because why not? But I like audio podcasts because of that limited space, like that limited medium that makes you a little bit more creative sometimes. And obviously, the type of people that will listen to an audio podcast will be a totally different sector than the people that will watch a video podcast or access the podcast on YouTube. So, for example, my partner sometimes listens to podcasts, but she types the podcast into YouTube and listens to it, right? Even though it's video, she's listening to it. So, you know what I mean? So that happens a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I watch or I listen, I guess, to video podcasts as well sometimes. And even the Romanian ones or like American ones, way less. Mm-hmm. But I do. And I mostly don't watch. Yeah, I sometimes peek and I'm like, oh, it's interesting what facial expressions or like the chemistry or anything like that. But you're totally right. Exactly. And I am biased towards audio as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let's talk about marketing a podcast. So you mentioned in a previous podcast that you've been invited to, Podcast Junkie, I think it's called, that the best way to market a podcast is to go where podcast lovers already are. So I like that statement, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into that. And I want to learn more about where do podcast lovers are and where should you expose your podcast in order to get more attention?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were talking about organic growth earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So I think organic growth doesn't have to mean you just don't do anything and you wait for things to happen. You know, organic growth is really being strategic and finding listeners that will stay mm-hmm. and not doing paid ads, right? Or not just posting on social media, promoting a video, thinking that it will bring listeners to you because it most likely won't if those people don't already listen to podcasts. So the reason behind it is if you know someone who doesn't listen to podcasts, I'm sure you have friends and you probably have tried to convert them, right? Mm-hmm. To listen.
Yeah.
So hard. It's so hard. I try to do it all the time and they just like, I make it as personalized as possible. I send like their favorite topics, like the kind of vibe I feel like they would enjoy. Maybe they listen once and it's kind of done, you know? Done. Mm-hmm. So where are podcast listeners? Where are they? In other shows. So swap with other shows, partner up with other shows. Mm-hmm. You know, do promo swaps, do a feed swap, which means taking your episode and putting it on their feed and vice versa. And that mm-hmm. way, you know, they get like a whole, they really get the feel of your show, you know, so they're more likely to go on your feed. Go on listening apps. Apply to be featured on Apple, apply to be featured on Spotify. They have forms that are publicly available mm-hmm. and you can pitch yourself like once a month, find something newsworthy, mm-hmm. pitch yourself. Podcast newsletters, huge, you know, like such a good resource because there's so many people there, first of all, that are in the industry and already listen to podcasts. I hope if you're in the industry that mm-hmm. you listen to podcasts because not everyone does. And then also people who are listening for the next thing to add to their queue, you know? So have your mind in those places and put your efforts there.
Mm-hmm. So if you would want to go, about pitching yourself, right? To all those newsletters, since you are uh-huh. somebody that writes a newsletter, what are you looking into? when you want to cover something.
Yeah. And by the way, also shout out to Earbuds Podcast Collective. I edit Earbuds and it's another great resource. It's a newsletter with every week. It's a podcaster who curates a list based on a theme and it's 5 podcast recommendations. So for example, for Earbuds, there's a form on the website. Fill out the form, read out the details, you know, exactly like all the requirements, send it through. Other than that, I would say in general for podcast newsletters, first of all, subscribe, right? Understand them. See what the writer likes, what kind of podcast they recommend, where else they are on social media, and just interact with them. Like actually build a relationship with those people. This industry is so great because everyone's so open to collaborating and there's not a lot of gatekeeping. So make sure that you build those relationships. And when there is something newsworthy or when there is, you know, a new episode on your feed that you feel like this writer will enjoy, send it to them and make the pitch and the email as personalized as possible. Don't make it too long. We don't want to read long emails. No one wants to do that. So follow those steps and you'll get there.
That's awesome. I like that approach. And I like what, like I preach about, brand amplification on this podcast a lot. So getting yourself in as many places as possible.
Yes.
So get yourself into even the more obscure ones. You never know what lands from there. Because the more you expose your brand, the more eyes you have on your brand, and it starts to compound over time. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. So yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome advice. And I especially like the podcast swap thing. I haven't tried that on my own podcast just yet, but I'll try it. Yeah. I've seen some of my clients doing it and I've seen that they have good results because obviously where do podcasts listen to? They listen to other podcasts.
But I will say
just
about that, it's so much trial and error. So make sure that the podcast you want to swap with is kind of in the same vibe as yours. Exactly. Right. Like not just the topic, but the approach you have to things, like all of that. And don't expect to see instant results. This is not the kind of strategy where you'll see it instantly booming. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it's a great match, if it's a huge show that is willing to do that for you and you're a smaller show, but it's going to be like just, you know, steadily getting there. And expect that and don't be worried about that because that's still so much. It's new years and new eyes on your content.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all part of the long-term game. So I like that. What do you think about Spotify ads? Have you tried that?
So when you say Spotify ads, I guess there are different types. So what, which one?
I mean the ads for, like, for example, you can promote your podcast on Spotify ads as a creator.
Yeah. So those are the ones. The ones I've seen are if you don't have Spotify Pro, like if you don't pay for Spotify, then in between songs, you're going to get like the typical ads. And sometimes they're for podcasts. Yes, we do that. Tink does that, for example, for clients. We do a lot of paid ad campaigns. And that's one of the things that we do. I'll say it's hard to tell because they change their the way they go about it a lot. For example, just recently they have a portal now. It's kind of like a self-service thing and that wasn't really the case before. Yeah, so definitely keep an eye out on all those things changing. But I think it's definitely worth it. Like it's a good investment. Depending on your budget, paid ads are really good. And yeah, Spotify is definitely one place to do it.
Great. So let's get straight into an awesome game that I do with all my guests. I'm going to pick up 3 random questions for you from this box, which is here. Right. They have nothing to do with podcasting or any business, anything like that. It's just to break up the flow a little bit and to know your personality a little bit better, because I think most podcasts, they don't dig into that. And I think it's as important to find out about that person, who that person is, and also about the experience. And that kind of like gives us a complete image. So I don't know what I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose in front of you so you know that it's not rigged. So this is one question. So let's have a look. Right. So that's actually quite good. What's the strangest thing you've ever bought or considered buying online?
I want to say I'm frugal, although I'm not.
Many people say that.
I know. I try to pay. No, I think just a niche thing is I became a little bit obsessed with rugs. So like, even though I'm not
Persian rugs.
No, just any rugs.
Any rugs, okay.
Yeah, any, like, you know, rugs, carpets, anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, sometimes you'll find me on a website just scrolling for, like, a long time. They have so many models and, like, the sizes. You never know when the next time is when you're going to need a rug. So,
yeah,
very strange. But now with your reaction, it seems like it is strange. Okay, yeah. good.
That's strange. All right, well,
I delivered then.
I recently bought a rug in my living room for my baby in order to make sure when he falls, he's not falling straight on the floor, and he's one of those from IKEA, so I went a little bit more like standard.
I could have been a personal shopper. We should have had this conversation before you needed the rug.
There you go. Okay,
then awesome. I would have helped. I would have had like 10 examples to pull out and show you.
Awesome. So let's see the second one. It's a little bit longer. I like this one as well. So if aliens landed tomorrow and ask you to show them one thing to represent humanity, what would you pick? I know already what I would say if I would be in your place, but I'm curious. Oh. Yeah, I'm curious what you're going to say.
What, a plane or something? I don't know what you would have said for me. So there's so many things to say about humanity. I got this idea, which is pretty funny, but I feel like I would show them a circus.
A circus? That's so original answer.
I don't know why I thought of this, because it just seems like such a random and funny and quirky thing that people do. But like, it can be creepy as well. So like, it kind of encapsulates some like weird things that humans do.
I think they will get a very weird impression about who we are as a human species.
Which we are weird, right? Humans are weird, so.
Yeah. So we have comedy, we have crocodiles, elephants,
anything. Exactly. Is that what you expected my answer to be?
Well, no, absolutely not. I think it's one of the most original answers I got on this show on this question so far. What I would have told everyone is I would have sent them my newsletter, Substack. Here is all the podcasts.
Oh, I thought of that, but I'm already self-promoting. Yeah. We're already talking about it. Let me like be honest here.
Or Wikipedia. I think Wikipedia would be cool.
Yeah.
Send them
or
Wikipedia.
Or ChatGPT and just...
Even that, yeah.
Like blow them away, yeah. Although they're probably a million times more intelligent than
awesome.
Us.
Awesome. Let's go. this round is awesome. I always love this. I love that. So if someone offered you $1 million to give a speech in a language you don't know, would you do it? And how would you approach it?
Yes, I love languages. This is a good question for me. I really love foreign languages. I guess it depends on how long the speech is and how long I have. 10 minutes. And how long do I have before I have to give it?
A year.
Oh, a year. I would learn the language and give it in the language.
Yeah, and you get $1 million as well. So it's pretty cool. Huh?
Yeah. I think you made it a little easy with the 1 year there. But still, I would like challenge myself to learn the language even like in a month. And then like, you know, like actually talk in that language and be sincere.
Do you speak a little bit of Chinese?
I learned a little bit. I learned for a few years, but it did not stick. It's in the beginning. It's challenging, but you realize there's so many rules to it and it makes sense. And then it's just like, oh, this language is very complicated.
Yeah. We as Romanian people, we are very adapted to learning new languages.
Yes. I've seen.
Because of our school system and everything. In my school, I had to learn French and English. French didn't stick because I had, you know...
The teacher?
Yeah, my teacher wasn't amazing. Well, she was a nice person, but... For whatever reason, I was not compatible with that. So it didn't stick. So and I feel bad about it. But one day I would like to master another language other than English. Maybe an Arabic language for whatever reason. Because I think there's so many countries that you can use that language in.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really useful language. Or even Russian, even though there's like... big conflict and whatever. There's so many other countries that speak Russian in Asia. And I think that would be a useful one.
Spanish?
Yeah. Spanish. Well, Spanish, I think any Romanian should know Spanish.
it's like
one of our brother languages.
We're just born knowing it. It's like more than Romanian. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easy for us.
So I like that. So thank you so much for answering these questions. Very original answers. So really, really good. So let's go back into podcasting. I would like to know your approach to producing a podcast. What is your strategy? How do you produce a winning podcast?
Mm-hmm. So it depends so much like the topic and who is doing it. I would say that's one of the things that's super important. Making sure that it's true to the person that's hosting it and creating it is one of the top things. Making sure that their personality comes through, the kind of like approach to the way they, you know, address whatever topics is something that's really important. And then I would say another priority is really making sure that it's sustainable. Mm. First of all, weekly podcasts are so ambitious.
It's one of the most ambitious things. Even this one, which is every 2 weeks, it's very hard to keep up with.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have done a podcast before, if you have made it, if you have tried it, you will know. So you don't want to just publish a couple episodes and then be like, oh, I can't, this is too much, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's sustainable. So, you know, if it's bi-weekly, I agree with you, like that is still a lot. So like, make sure that you have episodes banked in for when you launch. Mm-hmm. That way you also get the time to like focus on your marketing a little bit, you know, and build some buzz around it and see the marketing comes in already when we're talking about production.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. When you book guests, right, and you do research for them, how do you shape stories to make sure that the podcast itself resonates with the right audience and there's like a flow into it? Because you could have the most amazing person on your show and you can ask the most boring questions and nothing will happen. It will be just a regular show. So how do you make sure that you have a great narrative through your show in order for it to be successful?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I can answer it from two perspectives, kind of from the perspective of me pitching you a guest, for example, to be on the show, but also from the perspective of you interviewing someone on the show. Mm-hmm. So first of all, if I'm pitching a client to be a guest on another podcast, I need to really understand what the show is about. I need to understand the topics they talk about. I need to understand the kind of guests they have on. I need to understand their approach. I even look at the show titles, you know, and sometimes the pitch is modeled like their titles, like their episode titles, mm-hmm. plus the guest name, like whoever I'm pitching. Again, and being intentional and thinking really like a producer, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually love, as I'm talking about this, how interlinked everything is, because I know it, of course, but yeah, even like explaining it is satisfying. From the other end, I would say it goes back to sustainability. If you have a show that it kind of stresses you out to handle everything, you're most probably going to have a set standard of questions and slightly adjust them based on who's coming on the show just to make it possible for you to deliver. So, you know, make sure that you're being really intentional. Look at, you know, what you've covered so far. Make sure that nothing is being repeated, you know. Look at really that person and kind of what we did earlier, right? Like their personality and like quirks about them and things that are not necessarily related to what you're going to ask them about, but are part of their whole anyway. So it's a lot of different strategies like that and just making sure that you're intentional and thoughtful at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention a podcast that I really like and I listen to, How I Built This. Mm-hmm. You know the podcast?
Yeah.
So it's such a cool idea and it's very simple. And most of the time the guests are pushing the narrative and it's a chronological narrative. So it goes from the beginning towards the end, how they build a mm-hmm. company and how they sold it, or if there's anything happening in the future or anything like that. So, and the whole concept is very easy to understand. And I think that's what makes a great podcast great, where mm-hmm. you could go listen to a show and then you get kind of like the same thing on the next episode and on the next episode.
Yes.
You know what to expect. So people actually are binging the episodes and they are not mm-hmm. like, I'm listening only once and that's it. And that's what happens because this was in front of us and is in front of us every day on TV. When you go and watch a big show on BBC, CNN, or even in Romania on Pro TV or whatever, you watch it and you know that mm-hmm. the next episode is going to be something similar. The format is going to be similar. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. nothing else that's going to surprise you per se. So it's predictable. And we, as humans, we like predictability, I guess. And we like that surprise moment from time to time if it's happening. That's really good. So
that's a great point to keep that format. And I will also, I recommend Heavyweight and Proxy too, are two other shows that I absolutely love. They're narrated.
I like the names.
Yeah, really good names. And as you said, they're really like, they have a format and I absolutely agree with that, but they also still keep the individuality and it slightly changes from episode to episode depending on what they're talking about.
But there's like the core is there, which is cool.
Yeah.
I listened to another podcast since we are mentioning podcasts. I think it's called Why a Podcast Doesn't Grow or Isn't Growing. Yeah, something like that. It's not a big podcast. It's a small podcast that I stumbled across. The way I stumbled across this is that they pitched their services to me to help me grow my podcast. And then I looked in the background to see if they are actually legit. And then I found this podcast. And I listened to a few episodes. And I think what they talked in the podcast is quite good. It's just that what I didn't like probably is the production value. It could be a bit better. But the rest of it, I think the points that they make in there, I think it's pretty cool. And they have a very structured way of doing it, which is, and they vouch for that as well. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, great point.
Awesome. So now I think we're going to go into a different direction because it's happening all over the world. And I think this is going to be the answer to this question. So what do you think is the biggest challenge podcasters face today?
I mean, it so depends who you're asking because there are independent podcasters, there are networks, there are entrepreneurs that are using the podcast as a funnel for their work, right? So it really depends. I think, honestly, the shifts in the industry that are happening constantly are, even if they're not directly affecting you, right? Like say you're not working at Wondery and you're being laid off, but still following those kinds of news and just all of that still affects how you see the industry, affects how others do, how they collaborate. And so I think that's a huge challenge. I think also, you know, video, of course, for many who have started with audio first and are really, you know, audio exclusive is a challenge as well. And I think the challenge is because they feel like they have to do it. And I want to tell you, you don't have to do video.
Exactly.
If you can and do it, you know, kind of in a sustainable way, like you're mentioning, yeah, I'm doing it because why not? Sure. But if you feel like you have to, just don't do it. The quality is not going to be good. You're going to be stressed out. So, yeah.
I always say that to my clients is if you don't have the budget, it's better to just do the audio. Audio podcasts, believe it or not, has a lot of exposure. And if you focus on that and you're making the best podcast possible, you're going to win. Video podcasts, I would feel, is just an extra. And it's an extra that costs. It's not easy. I would say you also need to come up with quality on video podcasts. It's really important that quality is good. Audio podcast, it's audio quality is very important as well. But on video, the competition on YouTube, it's insane. You see all the professional YouTubers, the thumbnails they have, the professionality they record their podcasts with or their videos with. And you're competing against a huge crowd of professional YouTubers because now that's a job. So
yeah, and so, a tough audience because if I click on a YouTube video, I'm used to quality and I'm going to see your quality is bad. I'm sorry, however good the content is, I just can't, you know. Maybe I'll switch to audio and if you don't have audio, then I'm not going to listen to it.
And there's so many other out there that are doing a great job already. So if you don't hear it or if the video is blurry or whatever, yeah, you're not going to stick around. So I'm going to ask a bit sensitive question. Let me know if you want to answer it or not. But we all make mistakes. If it makes you comfortable, I can tell you my mistake first. But is there a big mistake you've done as a podcaster or as a marketer?
Yeah. Something that really stressed me out is I sent a pitch and when I wasn't personalizing them as much, because this is definitely something that was like a muscle that was worked through, right, for the marketing side of things. And now I'm so intentional, but I was not always like that. Like I used to use a mail merge. I used to like just, you know, copy paste more or less the same pitch. And like sometimes I use the same name of the show that I pitched before.
Happens.
So bad though. So bad. Yeah. So I guess that's not the biggest mistake. It's not a career-ending mistake, but that's, I mean, like, for the work that's being put into a podcast by someone, for like, you know, it's just not nice at all to
yeah.
So like, it definitely taught me, there were a couple of times and I got a response back. It definitely taught me, okay, you need to like slow down. It's very much like quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's interesting, because with outreach, I do feel it takes a long time, and there's also all sorts of automated tools you can use for that. I've tried a few, but I do think the actual way of doing it is the human way. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, if you would go physically to somebody, you would talk mm-hmm. to that person in your own language, right on the spot. You want to do, if you do that the same way, when you email somebody, you're very likely going to get a response. For example, when I outreach people, I'm not trying to make my emails look complete, if that makes sense. I'm trying to make them look a little bit incomplete, mm-hmm. more like, hey, how are you, mate? I just want to talk mm-hmm. to you, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. I don't want to make it like super official, because those mm-hmm. are, I think, they slip through the cracks. And when you are more human, I think that's when you actually start connecting. And I've seen some people actually, they started adding mistakes in the emails just to ensure that they compete against AI. So AI, you're going to get loads of spams with AI written messages from all sorts of different people that provide all sorts of services. And you know that these guys aren't real because it's so perfect. It's written so well. So if you do a few grammar mistakes or a few like...
That's funny.
Yeah. You can definitely
see,
convince that
humans.
Person. That you, yeah, that's human.
Humans are funny. Yeah, no, it makes sense. But I think even if you have the human touch, but you automate it, like I used to, you know, do that mm-hmm. sometimes, it just comes across as so disingenuous. And mm-hmm. it's an actual human reading that on the mm-hmm. other side. So it's really going to get you nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And now let's go towards the other end of the spectrum. What podcast had the biggest impact due to your involvement?
A bunch of shows that I love and that I've, you know, produced or worked with even for like a limited amount of time. So for example, with Tink, I worked with a couple of clients like Arts Educators Save the World. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast. I mean, the title says it all, you know, but the really cool concept about it is that in each episode, they have an artist and the mentor that really shaped them, the art educator.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's such a good, it makes for such a good conversation. It's so inspiring. The team is so sweet, so passionate, so dedicated. Mm-hmm. They even had like Lin-Manuel Miranda, Jonathan Groff, like huge celebrities and like artists on this show, but they weren't really reaching an audience as much as they wanted to before working with Tink. So this is one of the things we did, you know, like implementing those swaps, you know, Erica, the host, guesting on other shows, having it be, you know, featured in newsletters and things like that. Another show that I loved working on also at Tink is called Mental Health Rewritten. Mm-hmm. And it's by Dominic Lawson, who is a 30-something time award-winning podcaster. I don't even know at this point. So he's just really cool. But this was a new show, right? So we had a cool opportunity to get everyone's eyes and ears on it. That's exactly what we did. It was featured everywhere. It was featured in Apple, mm-hmm. which really skyrocketed his you know, audience. And actually, his one-year goal was to reach 10,000 listeners. And we achieved that in 2 months from when the show was released.
Wow.
That doesn't happen with all podcasts. Can't promise that. But it did happen.
Why do you think that podcast got that?
It was really a combination of all of that. You know, for example, there are some podcasts that launch in the summer. And I mean, even if there are shows interested in working with you, they're on vacation. They're on holiday. They're not going to arrange a promo drop right now. They're not going to have you on the show right now, you know. Mm-hmm. But like for him, so it was a good time. Everybody was interested in it to feature it in newsletters. The Apple feature was huge. And something that was also really helpful is the scope of work and everything we did for that campaign was pretty large. So we had swaps and guesting, right? So for mm-hmm. example, some campaigns are only swaps, some are only guesting, some are only buzz building.
When you say guesting, is having the host on other podcasts.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Dominic going on other podcasts. And we scored a lot. A lot of people were interested. And I think another thing is he was really open to suggestions. And that means that, for example, when we were talking to him about, okay, we want to arrange these swaps, like, what can you offer? Can you offer a promo in one of your other shows? You know, since this one is new, I mean, you're not going to have a lot to offer in the beginning. So what more can you bring here? He was very open, very willing to, just come up with ideas as well. And also he just gave us a lot of suggestions for things he wants to talk about on other podcasts, including, you know, hobbies he has. Like, he loves Marvel movies. He loves Indian movies too. He loves Bollywood. So like having it be as wide as possible, like that gave us a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, thank you so much. I think that was awesome. And the amount of knowledge that we got in this episode, I think is really valuable. So if people want to connect with you and want to learn more about you, where they can find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn, Andrea Koskaj. They can find me on Instagram, where I share podcast recommendations, I think a little too often than people would prefer. But, you know, if you're looking for that, you are going to find it on there. And definitely subscribe to Eurowaves. You know, come join the community on Substack. I post every 2 weeks, a lot of good resources. Also join the Eurosounds Google group if you want to join it. DM me, let me know, and I would love to have you there. It's a community.
Google group?
Yes.
What is that?
It's how I got the job at Tink, remember?
Right, Google group.
Because I sent out an email, yeah.
Wait a second.
I'll add you to it if you're not already in.
I never use Google groups.
It's a group with however many members. I think Eurosounds has 300 members at this point, and it's European podcasters, but also American, international, whatever. And you can send an email there introducing yourself, and that will instantly reach 300 podcasters. You can send an email saying, I want to do swaps for my show. Mm-hmm. You can ask for help. You can, you know, brainstorm. You can whatever, promote yourself, anything you want. It's it's a great place.
That's awesome. Okay, Andrea. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you.
And guys, if you like the show, please make sure that you follow the show on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast, or you watch the podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to the show. Leave comments down there. Andrea, I think she's more than happy to answer some of your questions in the YouTube comments. And I'll see you next time in 2 weeks on Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining. Bye.